Psalms chapter 24. I'm going to go just read the first about six verses. The Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and that they dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend in the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face. O Jacob, Selah. Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning, this service today. Lord, we thank you for your sweet Holy Ghost you've given to us, Lord, and empowered us as this church today, as individuals. Lord, we recognize that you are coming soon, Lord. Stir our hearts in such a way that we be prepared, be watching, be looking. Lord, we just pray that you'll move in this service today. If one that doesn't know you, speak to their hearts this morning, Lord. Anoint me to say what you want said in this service today, Lord, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. Thank you for standing. As I said, I've had a little tough time not getting involved in the message. I feel like I'm needing to preach Wednesday night, but I feel like that I need to go this direction today. How many knows that we are a church that has the power of God involved in our walk? You know that today. We'll find that there'll be some that will contradict a little bit in that area there, but I tell you, I can find through the scriptures in Acts that we're still that same church that was empowered, saw miracles take place, Brother James, and saw things happen that they'd never seen before. And I believe today we are of that same church. They may feel like that this power died out with the disciples, but we'll not get into that. But I can tell you, I am a whosoever. Anybody there? Go back and read what Sister Marty read in verse 39 says in chapter 2 of Acts. That this is for our children and for those to come. That means us. If he wasn't including us in that, he wouldn't have had Cornelius in a place to receive that, praise God, that this would come to us Gentiles. But I'm glad today that I have got what I need to make heaven. Are you glad for that this morning? Well, I'm preaching today on generations. We found a lot of things in the Bible. I was looking over some of the generations that it speaks about in the Bible, and I found there's a whole lot more generations that are ungodly spoken about than there are the generations of what we would look for today. I read to you in Psalms chapter 24, generation that seeks God. We're going to have to realize this. If there's ever a time for you and I to seek God, it's today. Don't allow yourself to be rocked to sleep and say, I've got plenty of time. There's no need for me to really serve God like old grandma did or Brother Eddie does or so on and so forth. It's time that we seek God. What generation are they going to say we're of around here? We look back and we can see generations. I'll just touch on a few that you can find in the scriptures. If you don't believe they're here, let me know. I'll find you where they're at. A perverse and crooked generation. A forward generation is mentioned. Stubborn and rebellious generation is mentioned in this Bible. Evil and adulterous generation. Faithless and perverse. A sinful, untoward generation. Just a few of these generations have been mentioned in the Bible. Now, I when I was preaching to the young people over at Pierstown, I asked them the question of what generation are you of? What generation are we of? Now, I believe it's a good question for us to ask ourselves today. What generation are we of? You may say, preacher, what's a generation? Let me give you a definition here of what a generation is. A group of such people which have the same experience, belief, attitude in common. This is what we're talking about of a generation. We've got the same type of experience, got the same belief. Well, we don't want to be of that generation of rebellious and ungodly. We don't want to be of that perverse generation. We want to be of that generation that's seeking God. We want to be of that generation that's got the power of God moving in their lives. How many wants to be of that generation? There's an enemy out there that will distract you in such a way that he doesn't want you to be what God wants you to be. But I can tell you, I've had this focus on my mind the last few weeks, and this is what I'm looking at. I hear a lot about what the devil's doing. Don't you focus on what the devil's doing. You focus on what God is doing. I'm serving a God that's got us in a place that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, of the testimony. I am somebody today. I'm not of that generation that's going, amen, straight to the pits of hell. I'm of that generation that's listening for the sound of a trumpet. I'm of that generation that's got power instilled in me because of what Jesus Christ done for me. I'm of that generation that's listening and looking and watching. What generation are you of? I've been inspired, I've been encouraged, and I've been discouraged. I want to look at what encourages me. I remember the preachers, Brother Coy Widener, Brother Lester Chisholm, just to name a few, that have preached this gospel uncompromised. They've not wavered. They found themselves, Brother Tobe, serving God when it wasn't a popular thing to do. That encourages me. I am of that generation. I want to share this with you real quick. Amen. I haven't said this in quite some time. A lot of you may not know Brother Corey, may not have known him. A lot of you did know him. He was just a man. I tell you, I know that. I don't worship any person, but I can see somebody and be encouraged by what somebody has done through the power of God. I was one time, just started off preaching and hadn't been preaching very long. Brother Coy was just somebody that made a connection with me. Anybody ever had somebody like that? Just somebody. My Lord, that just you could get around them and you'd just be inspired when you got around them. And I was praying one day, working out there at Claridge, and my Lord, I felt God in my life. He just called me to preach, and I'd had a dream the night before, and you may say this is crazy, but God was talking to me in the way that he could get my attention. I felt like one day I was preaching, and I felt like this is kind of weird at the time. It really disturbed me, and I felt like I was in Brother Coy's body preaching. I said, Lord, I was crying. My thoughts was that, Lord, you're going to take him home. This has probably been 10 or 15 years ago, and I began to pray, and God began to speak to me, not in an audible voice, but he began to let me know that's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, son, when you preach my word, you're going to have to get it just like he gets it. There's going to have to be some time praying and seeking my face because I want to be of the generation that God wants me to be in a place that I can serve him and somebody can look at me and say, they love the Lord. I'd meet him out there at Hardee's on a Monday every once in a while. I'd see him out there at Walmart sometime. It'd be like this. Whoopee! In the middle of Walmart's. He'd still be preaching about what he preached about Sunday. You know why? Because that generation there was serving God and seeking him. If you think you can serve God and never spend time with God, you're fooling yourself. Not only that, you're putting yourself in a position to fall. If my wife and I just in passing, I just say, hon, I'll see you Sunday. I'll tell you what happened. Somebody grabbed me by the shirt tail. Said, you're going to talk to me now, boy. If we just say, well, we'll visit with you when we get time. We'll serve you. That's the generation that's going on right now. They use God like a spare tire. They take grace and use it like one of the little donuts in the trunk of your car. If you have a flat, you'll get him out. That's not the generation I want to be of. I want to serve him. I want to praise him. I want to seek him when I don't need nothing. Sure, pray him. Pray and seek God's face when you need help. He wants you to. Sometimes you just want your kid to come up and hug you for no reason. Amen. Sometimes you just want them to come up and maybe a handshake instead of a handout. Hello? I believe God's the same way. I believe there's times he wants us to be of the generation to praise him and worship him, not when we need something, but when we just love him. What generation are you of? Spare tire? God is what he's been used as. That's a rebellious and ungodly world we're living in right now. It's where we're at. Church world begins to take and twist the word of God They try to say that because of love, that means that God loves. And you know, if I'm a man, I love this man, then that means God's love, so that means it's okay. Perverse world we're living in. Generation of perverse. It's unnatural. It's not even God-natured. It's total opposite of God. What generation are we of? We're of a generation that's seeking God's face. There's going to be a time that we're going to have to serve God with our whole heart. And I believe that time is today. Moses found himself in a place that he needed to realize that it was going to be him that was going to be the one to lead the children of Israel out. It wasn't going to be Aaron. It was going to be him. Not taking time to go back there. You go back in Numbers and you'll find this was not. He found himself in a place that needed to have God on his side. Well, spoke to him. So what's that you got in your hand? God had put him in a place, give him the authority. What generation are we of? Are we of this push button generation that we can't pray no more? Oh, I've got to have my phone. Where's my phone? Honey, you got my phone? Oh, Lord. I'll say this and hurt everybody's feelings. Leave your Bible at home. Get 100, a quarter of a mile from the house. Leave your Bible at home. Oh, I forgot my Bible. Keep on driving. Leave your cell phone at home. Turn this thing around. Woo! Can't live without that. I can tell you right now, this is the generation we're living in of technology. Yes, God can use technology, but listen to me. We're going to have to realize one thing. We're going to have to serve God without this technology and realize there's no new way to get to God except cry out to Him, fall on our face, Sister Casey, and realize that God is still God. Generation of technology. My Lord. You can realize this, anything that's in this world, God can use it for His good. I mean, He knows that. No matter how high tech it gets, God can use it. He's not confused by those things. But in the middle of God using things, the devil is using things also. He'll work. What generation are we of? Are we consumed by the fact that we need this technology? Are we realizing this? Now, you know, I'm not being critical of folks that have, you know, use the internet and so on and so forth. I will say this. You use that stuff with caution. I know the word is being sent out by the internet. I understand that thing. I realize that John Hagee's ministry is going to every nation in this world because of the internet. I understand that. But I can tell you this. There's a perverse generation out there using that to twist your minds, to damn your souls to hell if you're not careful. What generation am I? This generation I'm in. I tell you, moving over to Joshua, we've talked about Joshua a lot. Sister Marty touched on Joshua just a while ago in the lesson. But I guess it was Caleb she was talking about, being just as strong as he was at 85 as he was at 45. What generation are you of? We look back at our, just naturally speaking, at our folks. And I'll have to say, I'm afraid my generation, from looking back at my dad's generation, has probably changed a little bit, sometimes a whole lot. Now, you folks that are in teaching and public schools and so on and so forth, you've got more of an insight of this than I do. You know, the sad thing is, folks, I'll try to get on to some more positive things here. The sad thing is, Christian people have let down the standard of our families, our lifestyle, and the way we conduct business. You know, well, this ain't going to be funny. If we send a little heathen to school, he's going to come back a little heathen. If we send a little grown-up that's disrespectful, there's nobody to blame but me. Now, can they make a choice later in life? And they sure can. Can they get back to Christ? They sure can. But this generation, we have let things down. We have allowed things to be accepted. You know what happens is, if you're not careful, you get used to the dark. Oh, well, that's just TV, preacher. That's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. If there's lewd acts going on that TV set, watching that, that's not right. Can I? Oh, my Lord. This generation, can I? Well, what? Let's just say this. When I was young, and I was William's age and younger, to watch things that you can see on primetime TV right now, you would have had to have been old enough, probably 18 to 21 years old, and you had to went and bought a ticket, and I'll guarantee you, it had been rated R. And our kids sit there and turn that nasty stuff on and watch it day in and day out and day in and day out. Can I tell you, there is a spirit behind that. It's a demonic spirit. There's a lustful spirit back there. I didn't plan on going this direction, but I might as well preach a while. There's a lustful spirit out there. The spirit of homosexuality is contrary to the nature of God. It is not godly, no matter how much there's love involved. It's a perverse thing. Listen, our young people need to be in a place that they can come out and be His shepherd. And listen, the world may laugh at us, but I want to be of the generation that the Lord is looking for. How many wants to be of that generation? I don't care what Hollywood does. I don't care what the TV evangelist does. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it draws me away from God, then it's not of God. Why are we in this condition? Our teachers can't discipline their kids because they'll have some kind of DHS or I don't know what all happens. They'll be thrown in jail. Well, I can tell you a few years ago, DHS had come by my house, they probably would have thrown me in jail. I had a friend of mine, I don't know how I'm getting off on this, I had a friend of mine here a few years ago, he got a little bit corporal punishment going on with his boys, and they just decided to call the DHS on him. And they come out there and went and investigated. And it got pretty serious. And I said, you know, talk is cheap, but I said, you know what? I said, while they were sitting there, I'd say, y'all just might as well get ready to come back. Because when you leave, you'll have a reason to come back. Amen. Wonder why this generation is going downhill. I can tell you, we've lowered the standards. Mamas, daddies, go in there, don't you whip little Joe. Oh, how am I getting off on this? We're going to have to stand up and live it at home and live it at church. We talk about this. Well, this is my personal life. It doesn't matter. Listen, if your personal life is not godly, your professional life will not be godly. If I don't conduct my life like I should around home, I won't be conducting my life like I should around people. Hello? What generation are we of? Well, it's okay, Brother Eddie. It's acceptable. No, it's not acceptable. We must get back to seeking God. Realizing that things have not changed, God has not changed, we have changed. Joshua, listen, here's what happens. When you do that, you go contrary to what everybody else says. How many knows that? Joshua, and looking in the first chapter of Joshua, I'll take time to read there, get you a chance to read. In Joshua, I'll read just a couple of verses. Verse 7 says, Be strong, very courageous. Thou mayest observe and do according to the law that Moses, my servant, command thee. Turn not to the right nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now realizing this, there was fixing to be. They were going to, Caleb and Joshua found themselves in a place of looking. They sent out 12 spies. 10 of them come back and they said, there's no way we can obtain this. Now, listen to me. When you stand for Jesus and you stand for the generation, and I'll get on to the name of our generation here just a little bit. When you stand for the generation that He's looking for, you won't be of the majority. Hello? You won't be of the majority. 10 of them said, we can't take that land. We can't take that land. There's no way we can take that land. But Caleb and Joshua stilled the people. Amen. They stilled them. They said, listen, we're well able to take that land. Amen. How many believes we're able to take the land? We're able to be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. We realize this. It's not because I have power. It's because I am empowered and have the authority through Jesus Christ. Peter and John, I believe it was, a man by the gate was begging. They come by and they said, we ain't got no silver. Got that can out there shaking it probably. That was very common then. There wasn't any kind of help. wasn't any kind of Medicare or Medicaid or any kind of Social Security being paid in. They didn't have no help. They'd stand there where a lot of people come by, and they'd get some help that way. Amen. How many knows that? So they were there. Here comes Peter and John going by. Amen. They realized that this man needed some alms, but they said, we don't have no quarters to give you. We don't have no dollars to slip in your can. But such as we do have, I can just let my mind imagine. Peter looked over at John and said, you know, Jesus empowered us. Let's give this a try. Amen. The power we studied about this morning. This church is empowered. Listen to me. You said, we don't see things like that. I can tell you why. We don't have faith like we should. Amen. He said, we don't have such as we have. Rise up and walk. He began to rise up. I believe that crippled man had no idea what God was going to do for him that morning. What generation are we of? Peter and John found themselves a generation. They had faith. They believed what Jesus said. Anybody here believe what Jesus said? Don't listen to a generation out there of unbelievers that tell you there's other ways to heaven. There's not but one way, and that's through Jesus. Amen. That's not going to change. This word will not change. But Joshua and Caleb found themselves. They stilled the people, and they said, listen, boys, we're able to take this land. That land flows with milk and honey. How many knows that the serving God flows with milk and honey? Amen. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ will change your life forever. We're not going to do away with this untoward generation. It's going to happen. You're not going to pray and God get rid of all the evil things out there. It happens. Not till He comes back. We're going to live in this world, but not of this world. We're going to be here, and these things are going to be around us. Our kids are going to be subject to things that we don't want them to see and hear. Hello. We're going to go through things in this life we never thought we'd see before. Hello. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. Generation I'm of right here. I hope you are too. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, always it is contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. Listen, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. When in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise for that very thing right now. Amen. I've been called out. I'm a royal priesthood. I am of that generation. He don't have to come to me, amen, like He did, like Jesus did, Brother Sean, I believe it was over probably in Matthew, and speak to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and say, you generation of vipers. He don't have to talk to me like that, but He does realize this. He can talk to me as a chosen generation. I am a child of the King. Anybody here a child of the King? What generation are we of? Listen, amen. We're going to have to be an overcoming powerhouse for God. We're going to have to realize this is going to take somebody that's wanting to go to heaven, not just going to make it by chance. I say this quite a bit, I guess. You're not going to accidentally make it. There's probably people that accidentally makes a lot of money. Just happens. You're not going to accidentally make heaven. You're not going to just by chance be of the chosen generation. You're going to have to want to be of that generation. Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, that speaks like this. That if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, that he died for our sins, you shall be saved. Scripture says that whosoever would call on his name shall be saved. Aren't you glad about this? That at Calvary, I can almost get a picture of Calvary. Like that's a symbol of the cross right there. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. It's not the sins I have committed. It's not the turmoil that's going on in my mind or the sadness that I have encountered in this life. Not all the tribulations that maybe I went through here, but at the foot of the cross, it's even. He is our soon coming King. This perverse generation we live in and we're around right now, troubles on every side. I've never thought I would see the things I see today, and you're probably in the same place that I am. Never would have dreamed we would see things we're seeing today. Without getting political on you, when the leadership of our country begin to choose Planned Parenthood over the cares of a life being preserved. Hello. When they begin to protect those that take babies' lives, they begin to protect those that want an alternate lifestyle, I can tell you, that generation is in trouble. Trouble is not only coming, it's inevitable. It will hit. It will be here. Oh, you're getting kind of negative on me, preacher. You're getting just a little bit discouraging here. But remember, for those that are of the chosen generation, anybody of the chosen generation, anybody here born again, anybody here blood bought, that's who I am. I don't know about you. That's my question today. Of what generation are you of? Amen. Now, we realize this. We're going to have to be born again.